Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Can we all just agree on one of the hot topic tonight here on Williams and Bloom? I think we've overdone it with this song.
Oh, it's
sports.
It's going the next 6 weeks. Get ready for Timmy the Trumpet.
I just feel like this was really cool when we all,
like, July.
Yeah, you know, when that video came out.
Edwin Diaz. Yeah.
And now, like, mainstream America is catching on to this.
This is why it came up. We're watching the Missouri game.
Oh, yeah.
They went nuts with it for some reason. Like, what does that have to do with the Tigers?
All those
Tigers.
Idiots in the Missouri student section.
So,
welcome to the pod.
Does it show up in Jack Trice this weekend? Are we okay with it?
No.
No, okay. I just want to see the
power. Am I okay with it? No, I'm not.
Hold on. Litmus test. The power of the podcast tonight.
Oh.
If this shows up at Jack Trice on Saturday, let's say, okay, so third quarter, first touchdown is Juicy Wiggle, not getting in the way. I'm saying any touchdown in the first half, play Timmy Trumpet.
That would be incredible. I would go
crazy.
And
then everybody would know
where it came from. I would go crazy if the powers that be are listening.
Can we listen? Let's see the influence of the Williams and Blue podcast.
All right.
We're just trying to distract ourselves from the weekend that was.
Cheers. We got a little ice cold Cody Rhodes.
It's late too.
I'm polishing off the I've been sitting on this bottle for like 2 years, and this is my favorite Cody Rhodes ever. And we're finishing off the bottle tonight. I kind of savor this. It's the elderberry wine barrel.
We did this like back in.
Yeah, I've had these since like the pandemic.
18 months.
Yeah. So, anyways, cheers to everybody. Thanks to our presenting sponsors at MechDyne and the MechDyne Corporation. Reminder that we can't do any of this because of our, or without our sponsors. And we mean that. So, you know, when we do these sponsor reads and stuff, we just really appreciate them. We don't take it for granted. You guys for granted. So just wanted to say thank you, a sincere one, to our friends at MechDyne and the MechDyne Corporation. Our friend Chris from Marshalltown
has a question
for the podcast.
Very legitimate question tonight.
That's Chris Clover from MechDyne. So we'll get to that. And I don't know, Bloom,
Yeah,
I thought that game Saturday was just different to me than Baylor, because here's what's funny. You and me and Jack Whitford had a long time like gag on Cyclone Free Action for the last like 10 years.
Yes.
Where I would always kind of like, you know me, I'm always looking for storylines. Yep. Well, keep an eye on Kansas. They may not be that bad this year. And it never came true. Well, now Kansas is 5-0 and hosting College Game Day. And they just beat my clones, and I don't think that they're that good. Like, right? Like, they're fine.
Yeah.
But I don't feel team that Iowa State should have lost to in any capacity. Like, right. Iowa State dominates the game defensively, does everything that you would expect. Really, I mean, what do they have? Like 20 first downs. They move the football pretty well. Not
great.
Not perfect. Yeah, bad mistakes, but enough to be able to win that game.
Totally. So, same story. So, Kansas gets 28 yards in the second half. 28
yards. Which is crazy. For that offense and the output that thing
has been doing great.
It's an innovative offense. There's all sorts of That's a huge deal.
And Iowa State moved the ball okay, but again, it's the same thing. It's like, man, and again, I love yards per play and everything like that, C-Dub, but
at some point you got to put the ball in the end zone. Yeah.
And I realize, like, the obvious thing is to look at, well, you missed three field goals. And absolutely, but at this point, it's like it's a recurring theme. You got to be able to punch the ball in the end zone, one. And then secondly, maybe as importantly, the special teams. Nobody listening to this understands, like, everybody gets it that was not good.
No.
And you just can't lose a game like that. So it's one you're going to look back on and regret, because I agree, Kansas is a nice Cinderella story, but, man, that's a game if you play it 10 times, I think Iowa State should win it 7 or 8 times and had it right there, but couldn't get it done. And now you're staring down the barrel of a tough game with K-State. You've lost 2 in a row, and this is as much adversity as Iowa State's faced in a while, I would say, you know, from a program standpoint. Because you lose to Baylor, which is, you know, it is what it is, but you lose to Kansas. And now, where do you fit in the hierarchy of the Big 12? K-State and Iowa State have had this battle for 5-6 years. Now it's on Saturday, another big game. So there's no rest. You just got to get back at it and hope you get back to where you were.
Funny about that, this team needs a bye week.
Yeah, it just felt like...
It just seems like it.
It just seemed like everything Saturday was really hectic and chaotic for some reason. And I don't know if it was from you get behind 14-0 right away, and it was just like, man, everyone was hitting the panic button. You saw Hunter get a little emotional on the sideline. You saw Matt, you know, just kind of listening to it. I don't think there's any controversy there.
No.
But there's just...
that actually goes with everything we've heard about Hunter. That he's just a hyper-emotional guy.
Absolutely. I don't think you need to be worried about it.
No, but, he gets hot.
You know, and then Jirel gets hurt first series. That didn't help matters. Because those guys, you know, and you've talked about it. I think the running back room is deep. But where Jirel is so good is his pass blocking. And that was really evident on Saturday. It was just they couldn't contain that Kansas pass rush at all.
You mentioned the running back. That's the scary part to me.
Yes.
Now, again, like, I think they can win with Sanders and Silas.
I do, too.
I don't think this is like...
It's not emergency, like your fifth-string walk-on type, but...
No, but it definitely showed, right? Like
Jirel proved his worth by not being there.
I think Iowa State wins that game with him.
I agree, too.
But, you know, injuries are...
It is what it is.
...part of football. I guess let's start with the kicking situation.
Yeah.
Do you trot him out there on 4th and 1 with 32 seconds to go if you're Matt Campbell?
Man, so...
Obviously, hindsight's a powerful thing.
For sure. I remember watching it going, I don't know what I would do.
My wife came downstairs. I was watching the game by myself.
Because we all had our own reaction to that whole sequence of events.
And she runs down here and she goes... Should he kick the field goal? Like, she wanted to know my opinion.
Because what, there's 40 seconds left?
There's 32, I thought.
32?
And I said to her, I think you have to. Now, again, hindsight, knowing
absolutely,
how
poorly
that kick looked, you would not do it again.
Wasn't even close.
I kind of agreed with what Matt said after the game. Our defense was playing.
You get to overtime, you feel good about it, I think.
I think so, too, but then...
But the guy just missed two.
The problem is when you get into overtime and you've got an offense that can't put it in the end zone, are you then relying on your kicker some more?
So
if there was a minute left, I think you'd probably go for it. I don't know. It was so hard.
Great point. Because here's the thing. So one, Xavier could just get the ball across and we're not having this conversation.
Which I think he would love to have
that playback. Absolutely. But with 32 seconds left, you're at the 20-yard line. There's no guarantee you're going to get to the end zone. So at some point, you may have to kick anyway, right? And so what's the difference between a 25-yard field goal and a 37-yard field goal? Arguably, percentage-wise, not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake just missed it. Like, it wasn't close. It wasn't going to be good from 25 either. Not that that matters.
No, he completely overcompensated. And like,
you know, it's weird, because at the time, I'm like, you know what? I get it. Like, kick the field goal. Let's get to overtime. Because honestly, if you get the first down there, I think Iowa State was out of timeouts. I'm trying to remember what the whole situation was like. But the odds of you getting to the end zone at that point are not high. Maybe you get it to a 25-yarder or a 20-yarder, whatever it would be. But eventually you're going to have to kick the ball anyway, probably to tie the game. So,
boy, I had a hell of a weekend with kickers. Gosh. And then the Vikings missed that PAT. And then that guy kicked the 60-yarder. And it was just that game, the Vikings game, was all about kicking today. You just had a real love-hate weekend with kickers.
Honestly, I felt horrible for Jace Gilbert.
I do, too.
Because he was put in that spot. The two kicks, both of his field goals that hit the upright, plenty of distance.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the legs.
What's hard about that, too, and you just
overcompensate.
You don't ever know, but when it hits the uprights, I would assume it's kind of a 50-50 thing. Like, it's either going to go through.
Totally.
Or,
yeah.
And if that first one, you get a good bounce, you know, you just wonder.
Yeah. How is the game different?
Is it in his head?
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, clearly. Does he end up? Like, we play golf.
Yeah.
You hit two to the right.
Oh, yeah. And then
the third one's like, man.
Yeah.
And he looked uncomfortable. Maybe you put that into your perspective, but man, I don't know. Like, I think we can armchair quarterback thing and say, no, I would have gone for it, but I don't know what that really gets you.
I'm just telling, and clearly looking back, I disagree with what I said.
What happened? Yeah.
I told my wife, who she's not a huge football fan, but she likes the Cyclones. I was like, I think I would probably kick here.
I think I would have too. Like, I don't know what else she would have. Because if you don't get it.
Up until then, like you said, like, his kicks didn't look too bad.
No.
Now, they had the bad exchange on the PAT where Iowa State got the 2-point conversion. Yes.
That's always a possibility. But did you trust Iowa State to get a yard there either?
Well, I mean, they've
been pretty good on fourth down.
Fourth downs.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. My thing is,
feel like they were going to win the game when they got the ball back and start driving down?
I did.
I kind of did too.
So the other thing, and I put this on Twitter, people like, stop complaining about the officials. Did you see that Iowa State got jobbed 4 yards on that last drive?
Yes. Well, I didn't until you.
But simple stuff like that. It's like, what are we?
Well,
that's what
drives good officials crazy. Correct. Is stuff like that.
Yes. It's not correctable stuff. Like,
it's so, not the debatable, like, pass interference
correct.
Call.
Yes.
It's the stuff that you should always
get right.
So what
happened? So Jalen Noll returns the punt. Okay, just to refresh everybody's memory. He returns it to the 39-yard line. There's a penalty. That was a borderline block in the back, but then they talked about it. Like, no, he was actually in front, so wave it off. But then Iowa State snapped the ball from the 43. So they removed 4 yards from where Iowa State would have started. Now, I don't know. Does that matter in the long run? Perhaps. But it's just like preventable stuff like that is what drives you crazy. So, I don't know. I mean, I think I felt when Iowa State got the ball back with, 3 minutes left, down three, I'm like, this is at least going to overtime. And, you know, got it in position and you didn't make the field goal. Iowa State did a lot of dumb stuff, though. Like, you can't look at that game and just blame officials or blame the kicker. It was a holistic problem of, I mean, offensive line being front and foremost, in my opinion.
It was really a kind of a miracle that Iowa State had a chance to win the game at the end, really.
Fair.
When you think about all the mistakes.
Oh, rough.
The missed kicks. The
dropped punt.
The muff punt. Now, they got that one back with Orion Vance making
great
a
play.
Big time play by the senior there. The I guess I come back to this, and this is where, you know, it's a little bit weird. I do the how good is Kansas thing because
I don't know.
They're 5-0.
I don't know.
And I mean, I think that they'll be probably 8-4, 7-5. I don't know. But I don't think they're like a top 4 team in this league.
No.
After seeing them.
No. They're not. Who do they play this week?
They get TCU game day.
I don't want to know what the line is yet because we're going to play the game.
Yeah.
But I wasn't blown away with their. Iowa State's got to get more than 11 points on those guys. Just sorry. It is what it is. That lost the game to me. Now, I know you could say the kicker lost the game too. Yes. But that Iowa State needed to be 27 or above. Just had to. And whether that's the kicker, the lack of execution, Jirell's injury, like, you can throw all these things into it, but not good enough. 11 points is not good enough in Lawrence.
We got a problem with the quarterback and turning the football over.
Yeah, and yes.
But, you know, like, it's pretty clear what we're watching. A super talented guy Right. Great arm
learning
talent.
Really fast.
And we're watching him on the fly here.
Which, okay, so the go on the message boards that I did today. Biggest complaint, obviously special teams. Okay, which again,
yeah, and
anybody with two eyes can
I
see
think that is the biggest thing.
Yeah,
just yesterday's game, like,
yeah, I just got to figure it out.
If you're just decent in special teams, you win.
So one thing on that,
even without everything else,
Iowa State did hire a special teams analyst.
Yeah,
who just coached the Los Angeles Rams to a Super Bowl.
However, yeah, so they did do something.
They did do something. The analyst technically, okay, I'm gonna get in the weeds here with everybody.
Well,
you ready to get in the weeds?
Yeah.
The analyst can't recruit, for one. The analyst also can't technically coach on the field. They can be in the booth.
They just analyze.
They can analyze. And it's this really gray area of an NCAA of who's allowed to do what. And so I don't know exactly what the new special teams analyst does, but he does have experience. I know Matt's involved. Like, you can't say that they're not trying to pay attention to special teams, because clearly it is his priority. Look at what they did this offseason to hire this guy from the Los Angeles Rams. Saturday was bad. Like, you can't have all these things happen. So, got to figure that out. Freshman punter, freshman kicker, not great. Jalen's got to catch the ball. It was in the sun. I understand. Sun, shade. Like, it was a bad deal, but still got to figure it out.
Jalen's been really good on special
teams. He has.
Yeah, honestly, for him, I'm kind of like,
okay, give him one.
I don't blame this.
That was not a scheme thing.
Yeah, I don't blame this analyst on
Noel's
deal.
Totally agree. But then the second thing is, what's going on with the offensive line? And you can't have five sacks allowed against Kansas. And then Hunter, the third part about that is, and maybe it all goes together, and I would love a higher, you know, end zone view of what happened in that game, because the analyst on ESPN2, Dustin Fox, was adamant, and I think it really, perhaps he was right. He's like, I can't believe Iowa State's running all these short crossing routes across the middle, and he kept banging that point home. I would love to know what was going on, and you can't really see, this is my point, you can't see from the sideline cam what Kansas is doing. Were they setting 2-3 safeties back to prevent all the Iowa State stuff from going deeper? What was going on there? Because Iowa State ran a lot of short stuff to Xavier, and man, you'd like to think you could take a shot or two deep.
Real quick, well, we'll get to more of that.
Yeah, that's a lot to answer.
Talk about the offensive line and all that. I want to give a shout out to our friends at Danielson Law. Check them out at danielsonlaw.com. danielsonlaw.com. Really interesting couple, good people, Jeremy and Sarah Danielson. I met them on a bus trip that we took to this was the bus trip from hell to Memphis,
Memphis
to the Liberty Bowl, the first Liberty Bowl,
2012,
which was a really good time, but like we had four buses, two of them broke down, there was a death, the third bus broke down on the way back. Like, it was awful. Like, I actually said no more bus trips in the history of Cyclone Fanatic after that.
You haven't had one since, or
no? I'm not dealing with it. We don't make any money on those things. It's all like, right. And the Danielsons actually sat behind me on the bus back, and like, they were so nice to me because they knew like the amount of pressure that I was under.
I remember you and Adam Gray were just freaking out.
The funniest, looking back.
So my fiance at the time, Crystal, was on the bus.
She was
in the charter flight, of course.
Yeah, and you were being a dick on the the team plane.
I'm like, I'm home. Where are you guys?
God, what a night! It was like snowing on the way back. Just a horrible situation. But they're very kind people.
Yes,
my point.
People.
They were never jerks. They're very good people. They do real estate law. So when you buy and sell a house, there's contracts, all that stuff. That's what they focus on. Really good people. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, you need an attorney. Choose these great Cyclone Fanatics, Jeremy and Sarah. I got another lawyer I want to give a shout out to, our girl, Hope Wood. She's not a girl. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
HopeWoodJD.com. Promo code Fanatic. And that'll get you some save money. Hey, listen. I saw you tweeted out.
See that? Yeah.
During the game, if you're a Cyclone fan and you live through
alive.
These games, you can live through anything. Here's the deal. Maybe you won't, though.
Maybe you won't.
You could literally get hit by a car tomorrow and die. Have you taken care of that will? I want to send you to Hope Wood. She's my buddy. HopeWoodJD.com. Promo code Fanatic. And I think that'll get you $50 off. Big time. Chris from Marshalltown.
Chris from Marshalltown.
You want to read Chris from Marshalltown's question that was sent into the Williams and Bloom studios?
Fair question. Are we ready yet to say the O-line will be a disappointment again this year? And if so, what is the structural program reason for this?
I have a question.
We're five games in. We're almost halfway in.
I have a question leading into that. Have you gone back and watched the second half? Like, did Rimsburg play the whole second half?
He played 14 snaps, according to Pro Football Focus. So not the whole one.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
here's the thing, C-Dub. They rotated two different guys at one point, which is alarming.
Yeah.
Nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
So
they're feeling things out.
Ross came in for Simmons for like 20 snaps.
Which is crazy, because Simmons was like an NFL guy.
I don't know what happened to Simmons.
A couple years ago.
And then Remsburg came in for Treiber for 15 snaps in the second half.
Well, Treiber was getting worked early in that game.
And then Remsburg honestly didn't. Well, according to Pro Football Focus. Again, I went on the rating. I don't know. The offensive line is
What did Remsburg get rated?
Not great.
Okay.
Not great. The best rating was from actually Hufford yesterday.
Downing had a rough day.
He had a rough day.
That was about as tough of a day as you're going to see Trevor Downing have.
And the tight ends struggled too. But what really hurt them, and I said it earlier, is Jaire Brock is so good in pass protection that it was glaring.
Yeah, I mean, even like 2 years ago when Jaire was a freshman, they would bring him in on third down
for
a
Breece.
Lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
People don't necessarily.
I didn't even think about that.
Kind of like the third down back there late in that year.
He was great. I mean, he was like almost like a fullback where you just bust somebody up. Silas, like we've talked about in this podcast, is not big. And Sanders isn't there yet. They missed that on third down. And clearly that was in Hunter's head. But as far as the O-line, you know, we're five games in. It hasn't been where I wanted it to be, clearly. They're trying to cycle people through, which is not a great sign. I don't know. Is it a disappointment? Yeah, I think you could say five games in, the offensive line is a disappointment.
Which is kind of weird because three games in, I thought that I would have given them like an A.
Yeah, they did fine in the Iowa game. I know.
You know, like, I know. That's the thing.
But two games in a row, it just hasn't been there for some reason. I what do you do? I saw a lot of stuff. It's like, well, do you have a changing of the position coach? I mean,
not in the middle of the year.
I'm not going that far.
I mean, if you're going to do that, you don't do it now.
But I agree. Like the Iowa game, I thought the line was really good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what has happened. Game 4 and 5. Obviously, the talent's good. Baylor's good at D line, and then Kansas gave them all sorts of troubles with stuff.
I just wonder,
is that a Jaire thing?
And you got to be able to watch the tape. But you said five sacks.
Five sacks.
Like some of that's on your quarterback,
probably.
How much of that is on your receivers? Which surprise me because I feel like the receiver is all pretty good.
Yeah, that's why I would like to see that above you.
Yeah, you need that to really get a true judge of that. That would be my answer, Chris. I think the last two games the offensive line has struggled. There's no doubt. You look at the rushing statistics, right? Like there's clearly not a lot of room there. But I also think that clearly Hunter Deckers is learning on the fly when it comes to the intangibles of feeling the pocket. Because if there were five sacks, I would just, off the top of my head, I would put 2.5 of that on the line.
That's fair. And what struck me...
Is that fair?
I think so. The first 3 weeks of the season, I was blown away how good Hunter was in the pocket. Feeling it out, reading progressions, 1, 2, 3, 4. The last 2 weeks, it's just been different. So I don't know is it the speed thing? Is it the different looks that Baylor and Kansas threw at him? He's only in his fifth start. I get it.
He threw 48 passes. 19 of those targets were to Xavier Hutchinson.
Yeah, and he's the safety blanket.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, that's clearly... So Like, you can kill Tom Manning for the crossing, the short crossers, but if you don't, again, I want to see the higher level view. If you don't have any time,
were guys open,
yeah,
like we're
were they
I don't
sending
know.
Two safeties back? Like, I can't just make a read. TV is the worst way to understand what the route concepts are. Yeah, I mean, you think about it. The one play they had, what, Hutchinson was open in the end zone, and he dropped the ball?
Which, like, would have been the game.
That would have been the game,
you know, like,
potentially.
You don't put it on X because he did all sorts of stuff for Iowa
X
State to win. But it is a deal where the game of inches thing. Because I was thinking,
be better, though. Gotta
I was
be
thinking
better,
ahead, and I do this all the time when I'm taking notes. Had they gotten out of there with the win.
Oh, you're thrilled.
You come away and you're like, man, really had no business winning this game with all these mistakes. That's a big takeaway.
Yes.
Right. But then when
you
don't
lose, it looks even worse.
Yeah. So, man, it's let's get into
it's
the Big 12, because I think that perhaps we can add some perspective. Of course, our Big 12 segment each and every week here on Williams and Bloom, presented by our friends at Wiffles Hybrid. Plant your independence. Plant Wiffles, baby. One of my all-time favorite companies, the more I learn about Wiffles Hybrid. Independent since 1946. Here at Psych Bomb Fanatic, we've been independent, well, since Jeremy Lind invented this thing back in 2005, and then our ownership group got it in 2009, I believe, is when that happened.
That's
and
right.
Here we are in 2022. Wiffles Hybrid, a wholly owned subsidiary of nobody. I love this. Their taglines, every time I get this stuff from Wiffles, I just get fired up. So when it comes to selecting your seed corn partner, you've got a choice. Make it Wiffles Hybrid, a choice to remain family owned, baby. Farm family owned at that. I love the pictures that you guys send me during harvest. Please tweet them to me at Chris M. Williams, at Cyclone Fanatic. By week, I'm going to be going back to do a little harvest with my family
there
back in Southwest Iowa. Going to just take the camper, boondock it out there. Looking forward to that.
I got an email from my guy this week who said, you know, this is a great email. I'm going to read it real quick.
Oh, yeah, I did see this. Yeah. This is phenomenal.
He said, I'm an Iowa State grad who lives out in Des Moines now, but I'm originally from Geneseo, Illinois, where Wiffles is headquartered. I actually detasseled for them one summer when I was a kid, and my parents lived in a house they rented from the Wiffles family when I was born. I think it's so great they've decided to support Cyclone Fanatic and Iowa State Athletics. Like you, guy said on the podcast this week, their brand really is a natural fit. He told a story about his grandfather.
That's
who
awesome, man.
Had a Wiffles hat, and he found it in his house when he died, and stuff like that. Like, that's why we do what we
that's
do.
That's pretty cool.
Connecting the Cyclone family right there.
That's pretty freaking cool. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Wiffles.
Yes. I got good and bad news.
Good and bad news.
The good news is that Iowa State can legitimately win any game left on its schedule.
That's a fact, including
the
Saturday.
The bad news is there's no such thing as an easy game on the schedule.
Oh, that horse left town.
Yep. And it reminds me a little bit, this is kind of like a dumbed-down version of Big 12 basketball.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that's a deal where they're all NCAA tournament teams. Actually, this year's going to be brutal. Have you started to look ahead to basketball at all?
I think Iowa State could be pretty good.
You think Iowa State could be?
Yeah, but I don't know about the record. That's my point.
Yeah, no, that's the same thing. Like, I'm the same way. Like, I don't hate this team.
No.
But, like, somebody has to lose games. And I don't think the league has a bad team now. Right?
Son, like, Ward has been bringing it in practice, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
A little fun.
TJ
fact.
Told us that, like, he's been an absolute freak.
Just ridiculous.
Okay, so anyways, we'll do a lot of basketball.
Yeah, we will. We got time.
And if you guys haven't, go and listen to the pod I did with Coach a couple weeks ago. It's not timely, so you can listen to it whenever. But he is incredibly
they like this team.
Incredibly insightful. Did you like what me and TJ were talking about with the officiating?
I did. That's well. I mean,
thought it was really interesting.
And honestly, Matt has a similar concept of, like, you saw his quote. He was as critical after a game yesterday. And
it
wasn't even
that
critical.
At that man downfield.
Yeah,
what the hell
happened?
That's
so dumb.
They can't review.
No, you can't review it. That's what the whole thing was. So what they did. Here's my understanding of the whole situation.
Boy, you're really, now that you can sit back and watch this like we all do.
I'm sorry, it's bad.
You're just, but you understand our, like why we've all been so pissed for the years.
And I'm pissed as an official.
Yeah, because like, they make you all look bad.
You got to get the easy stuff right, and they're missing the easy stuff.
Yeah.
So what happened, and this was a critical play, and again, Iowa State, I always love the stuff where I get back, like, well, Iowa State did a lot of dumb stuff too, but yeah, like catch the punt.
No shit.
We make know a field that. Goal.
We know.
However, the officials can correct the correctable, and that is when a guy is covered up and they throw a penalty for illegal man downfield when it wasn't really illegal man downfield, it was actually illegal touching. That should have been illegal, an incomplete pass, but because they reviewed the illegal man downfield, which is because of the lateral, and they see that, okay, wait a second, that was actually not a lateral, then at that point, the illegal touching is not reviewable, so it has to stand, which is a dumb, like, circumspect of the rule. So that was a bad deal. Let's do a touchdown.
All right, let's do our lap around the Big 12.
Big 12 refs.
Start with Kansas State.
Thanks a lot.
Kansas State.
I watched a lot of Big 12 football, so I feel I've got a good read on stuff.
Kansas State played well, but they're definitely not. I don't think
they were iffy.
They played well enough to win by double digits against a good team. But like,
Deuce Vaughn is great. Martinez is great when he can run.
I do think this, like,
they can't throw the ball.
They are very one dimensional. And I kind of like Iowa State's John Haycock in that set.
I can't wait to see this matchup. K-State cannot throw the ball. Like, once Tech got him one-dimensional, they were great. But then Tech couldn't get him one-dimensional, and Martinez and Vaughn killed him in the fourth quarter.
You know, MJ Anderson's my guy, by the way.
Let me give him a shot. I mean,
I like him a lot. He's been really good.
If Martinez can run, though, K-State's going to win.
Yeah.
If Martinez can run, K-State wins the game. If Iowa State is able to contain him and largely did a fine job on Daniels, right?
We're recording this so late. We're in the fourth quarter of the Chiefs game.
What are we doing? We're just kind of
Mahomes
running
around. Just threw a bad pick, and I reacted, and we got all sorts of like taunting going
dude,
on. This
dude, you're
great.
Down 17. Okay. Relax.
Go ahead.
Iowa State did a good job on Daniels. Like I think Iowa State will be fine with Martinez on the run game, but they do a lot of crazy stuff with the old Colin Klein, you know, read option, yada yada.
Haycock pulls Reader at one point yesterday for McLaughlin. And they both played.
And then put in Jackson, too.
Correct.
They're moving guys around. Yeah, he pulled Vaughn as well.
I'm telling you what they're... Well, one, when they put McLaughlin in, they're like, we need some speed because Daniels is...
McLaughlin's going to be really good.
McLaughlin, I think, is the next great Iowa State linebacker.
I think he's going to be great. I'm a big fan.
Reader is... As I've noted the last couple of weeks when you watch the tape, he seems to be just a half step behind. And the problem is he's just not fast enough to make up for that against good teams.
Vaughn ran the wrong way twice yesterday.
Correct. And so that was them going, we need a guy who's going to be in the right spot, even if he's less athletic.
I think
it will be, but I like the matchup against Kansas State better because you just don't think they're going to burn you deep. You don't have to worry about that.
Yep. So can Iowa State stop the run with Martinez and Vaughn? And largely the last 2 years have done that pretty well.
Does Kansas State with Skylar Thompson or Adrian Martinez scare you more?
With Thompson, because he can throw the ball.
Yeah.
Martinez didn't throw it at all against Tech.
No.
I mean, he had like two long runs.
He had 170 yards rushing.
Yeah, but he had like 100 yards passing.
He had a 69-yard run, and Deuce Vaughn also had a 69-yard run.
Like, I think K-State...
69-yard runs in one game.
Nice. I think K-State's very solid. But, you know, if I'm Haycock, I'm coming after those guys. I'm like, all right, beat us over the top with Tampa and Purchase. Good luck. Kansas couldn't do it.
Is this a Reader game? Like, I mean, do you consider making – I don't feel like McLaughlin's probably the answer.
No, probably not.
No,
Reader's got to play because you got to stop the run.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I'm just looking at some of the moves they were making. I feel like Reader's still your guy.
And ultimately, the key will be where Deuce Vaughn will kill you is if he gets one-on-one in the backfield or in the second level and he beats you.
Well,
and he killed Texas Tech with that. Like, he was one-on-one several times, and he won the battle. He's really good.
I watched Tech enough, but I bet our secondary tackle's better than
I hope so. Otherwise, it's going to be a long day.
I mean, but think about it. Like, Iowa State's secondary has tackled very well all season.
Yeah, that's been the strength of the team.
I think the best position on the team right now is corner.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa
and 100% Tampa and
Purchase have been lights out.
Did they throw a Tampa at all yesterday?
A terrible PI on Purchase.
That was a bad call. Again.
That was a bad
same
call.
Same drive as the...
No, Tampa never gets any action because he's great. Locked down.
Tampa's great. Freeler was really good yesterday,
Tampa and Purchase, I think, will both be NFL guys.
Yes, so will Freeler. I think Iowa State's secondary is good, really good. So I think Iowa State can shut down the run largely, like contain it. And we saw like the K-State-Oklahoma game was maybe more Oklahoma-driven than K-State-driven. I think this game's in the 20s, low 20s, is up to Hunter Deckers. Can he get Iowa State to 24? K-State's defense is really good.
He showed glimpses of being a runner yesterday. Why doesn't he run like?
I don't know.
To
it's
run
weird.
More?
It's a weird deal because his strength always as a young guy was his speed.
I thought we were going to see him run more this year.
But it's almost like he's hesitant or uncomfortable,
or he's being told not to, or something. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
There's something weird there. And they've tried some design stuff and it hasn't worked. You saw in the Iowa game, they had like twice inside the 10. They tried planned runs with Deckers, and it didn't work.
I don't even necessarily need that. I'm just saying like some of these sacks that he's taking or whatever, I'd like to just see him run because I kind of thought that was going to be more a part of the deal.
And here's the other part that Chris in Marshalltown mentioned, and I think we're forgetting how good Purdy was at the improvisational second and third down plays, where he could just make something happen on the scramble ability, where Deckers hasn't shown that yet. Yeah. You know, and I think Hunter's the upper-level athlete, just raw talent. But where Brock was really good is he could do that gunslinger, you know, Farvian, I'm going to make a play when nothing is there. And Deckers hasn't really shown that yet. Like, for Hunter, it's been, I'm in the pocket, and I make a play, and that's about it. Like, he hasn't shown the ability to scramble, run around and do something like a Mahomes or a Favre or a Purdy could do. And Brock showed that right away. Is that something teachable? I'm not sure. But I think the athleticism is there. But anytime Deckers has rolled out now, it feels very much I'm going to take off and run and not deviate from that. So it's start five. Maybe it's there. But Brock Purdy was really good. And I think we're realizing a couple things. Charlie Kohler was really good. Chase Allen's really good. Missed the tight ends in a large regard. Brees Hall, by the way, game-winning touchdown today in the NFL. Excellent back. And then Brock Purdy was probably underappreciated a little bit. Like maybe we overhyped the difference there. I think Decker's arm talent is very good, but just the intangibles, you know, you got to learn. Got to learn how to win.
All right. Elsewhere in the Big 12, Oklahoma.
Holy smokes. I mean, he's already on the hot seat.
You think our fan base is melting
down? They're on the hot seat.
This weekend.
Old Venables.
They almost gave up 500 yards in the first half.
I watched it. It was embarrassing.
Are they the worst team in the Big 12 right now?
I don't know. Probably. Who's worse?
Well, the only Iowa State or West Virginia. They're the only zero-win teams. In the Big 12 right now. Shout out to Oklahoma State going on the road.
Yeah, that's a great win.
That's a statement game right there for Mike Gundy.
That puts them in the driver's seat, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to a national podcast today, and they were talking about them being a dark horse playoff team. And I'd be surprised if anybody ran the table in this Big 12, but... I mean, clearly, like that, not only winning, but then beating Baylor at home, it's kind of like, you know, in baseball when you can get a couple games and one, that's kind of what that feels like. Oklahoma State did. And there was never really much doubt who the better team was. And that surprised me. That was one of my locks of the week that I went
for. Baylor made a couple of runs at him. Like, well, you know, if Baylor could figure it out, they'll win this game. But Oklahoma State always put him away and every single time responded. to the Baylor drive, and you know, Spencer Sanders largely hasn't made a mistake this year. So credit to him for maturing and getting better. And you know, the Oklahoma State defense wasn't great, but it was good enough, and that might be good enough for them this year.
Elsewhere, Texas rolled West Virginia. Not a lot to pick off the bone there, but the Oklahoma-Texas game, we'll get into that. We'll do guess the point spreads with the with Cyclone Fanatics Brent Bloom coming up here momentarily, right after I give a shout out to our friends at Gravitate Coworking. Check them out at gravitatecoworking.com. Are you bored just sitting around your house?
Yes.
You know, you need to like actually put on real clothes.
Pants.
Bloom, are you getting to this point yet with your new job? How often do you put on pants during the week when you're not golfing? All you do is golf.
I golf a lot. Do sweatpants count?
Mm-mm.
Then no. I'm batting 500.
Well,
I could use to go to Gravitate, honestly.
All right, Gravitate Coworking. Check them out at gravitatecoworking.com. And hey,
they don't have dogs getting in the way.
Be your opportunity.
Honestly, I was on a phone call with a banker this week, and my 1-year-old dog started barking. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I felt awful. I'm trying to do a deal with a banker, and dog kept barking. Yakety sacks. It's back.
This needed to be on in the background when the refs didn't know if they could review that.
Oh my
play or
gosh!
God, it's just
it's so
I don't
bad.
Like to just bitch about the
no,
officials,
I,
but
it,
they're
like,
so terrible.
It's just, and by the way, Yakety Sacks overwhelmingly won the poll.
I would honestly just, and I'm trying to be really rational with our people, and like, what, like. Honestly, though, like, are you guys communists? If you don't like this,
this is American.
Are you a communist?
I had a friend of mine that said two things. One, roll clones. Two, Yakety Sacks forever.
I like that friend.
That's great.
All right, guess the point spreads. Houston at Memphis on Friday.
Oh, jeez. What's wrong with Houston?
What about my green wave? My green wave, baby.
Round it up for the green wave.
I really do. I think I'm going to buy some green wave
you need to
stuff
do it.
For the
yeah,
new let's, podcast studio
let's
that
do
we're
it.
Building.
Where's the in Memphis?
That is in Memphis.
Joe Skates?
What about Holgorsen like flipping off his crowd or whatever he was doing?
Unprofessional coach. Pick 'em?
-2, Memphis.
Okay. Guess it's to win.
It's not bad. Nope. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yep.
All right. Game day. TCU at Kansas.
I have no... What are we doing?
I would have pounded the open on this. It
oh
is steamed hard.
Oh, my gosh. I'll say TCU -3.
-6. That's how much respect Kansas is getting.
Man, that's going to be a game. Honestly, Cyclone fans, December 1st, you're going to look back and go, what are we doing?
Kansas is...
They might lose out.
They're a bad 5-0.
Right. Are they going to lose out?
I won't go that far because the Big 12 is just crazy.
They might lose out.
No, they're going to get to at least 7.
Who would they beat?
Well, they beat us. They could beat Kansas State. They could beat Texas Tech.
Okay.
I mean, hell, Oklahoma just...
All right.
They could beat any of those teams.
I know. Just
like,
not...
this league is just on crack.
I know.
The Red River Shootout, Bloom.
Oh, my goodness. Just move it to the SEC Network.
Isn't it funny, though, just the train wreck that these programs have become ever since the big announcement?
It completes me. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know. I would say Texas -4, but I don't know.
6.5.
Texas?
Yep.
Okay. That's pretty good.
We're going to have to be on Hudson Card Watch. I like Iowa State to have a prayer in that game. I don't.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
How long is Ewers out?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. We're going to have to start watching. Watching.
They look good last.
Texas Tech is at Oklahoma State.
Oh, boy. 10.5.
Pretty good. Pretty good. 10.
Yep.
The Paul Chris Bowl.
He's fired. See that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be the next Campbell talk.
Yep. He wouldn't go to Wisconsin, right?
I mean,
they're going to hire their interim guy.
I'm pretty sure Paul Rhodes was once offered the Wisconsin job.
That's
turned
a fact.
It down.
That's
yeah.
a fact.
Turned it down. Got the deal at Iowa State the next day.
11.
I was at Emily Morgan's wedding that night, and I ended up just working the whole time.
Yeah, I remember that when that happened. Yeah. No, honestly, people, like, Paul Rhodes got offered the job. Who was the coach? Was it
Gary Anderson.
Gary Anderson. Yeah. Anyway,
or they hired Gary Anderson.
They hired
time.
Gary Anderson.
Yeah. yeah.
Is it Bielema left to Wisconsin? Or no, to Arkansas.
Yep, there you go.
Who does Wisconsin have?
What?
You just said the Wisconsin Bowl or the Paul Chris Bowl.
Oh, they got Northwestern.
Wisconsin Northwestern?
Yeah. It's just, I don't really
care either. It's interesting.
Just two really bad.
I would say Wisconsin's still favored by 4.
8.5.
Oh.
That shows you what they think of Pat Fitzgerald these
Pat's
days.
Pat's on the hot seat. No?
He's like a 10-year contract.
That's right.
They can't fire him.
Neither can they can't fire Brian Ferentz either.
I mean, they can. Kansas State, Iowa State.
Pick 'em.
It is a pick 'em.
I knew that one.
But it is steamed to 2. Kansas State is the favorite.
Really?
Yeah. I like Iowa State if you can get that to field goal.
Yeah. Jack Trice at night? When's the last time Iowa State lost a night game?
I don't know. I'm not getting into that.
Okay. It's been a while.
Second I start thinking about that stuff.
I'll give you the answer. Do you want to know the answer?
Was it the Utah game under Rhodes?
No, it was the Texas
Shaky
game.
Shaky Smithson?
No, it was the Texas game in 17. The Bugle logo game. The
oh,
one and
God.
Only Bugle logo.
That was the last loss of the night game?
Yeah. I think so.
We're going to start just picking them every week. My green wave, East Carolina at Tulane.
East Carolina sucks. Tulane, 8.
3.
What?
Pound the green
wave. Pound the wave.
We are pounding.
We're a pro.
That opened as a pick.
We are a pro Green Wave podcast.
Opened. Did you know I have like Tulane followers on Twitter now?
Well, let's. Hey, pro Green Wave podcast.
I love it. That
get him in the Big 12.
Can that not just be our like secondary
that's our
team?
No, we're in
here on the pod.
We love the Green Wave.
I think we are going to have a Wednesday game.
What?
SMU at Central Florida because of the hurricane got moved this Wednesday.
Man, that was a rough deal.
Yeah, you.
That was a rough.
You want to? You can tell your.
I'll tell the.
Bloom's
tell
mom has a. That is it for I guess the point spread. Yeah.
Is UCF favored in that game by a lot?
3.5.
No, not a lot. No, my mom has a winter place in Fort Myers Beach, and it's now gone. There's no roof.
Yeah,
there's no roof.
It sucks, man. It's a beautiful place.
I took you down there in 15.
Yep.
So it's not there, but. Luckily, nobody's injured or anything. But
yeah, and
it was kind of a long week for the old Bloom fam. Nat and
that Kansas sucks, man. It's horrible.
Yeah.
My wife and I had
a good time there.
We love the.
And you guys went to your honeymoon in
Sanibel. We've been to Sanibel three times.
It's like now destroyed.
We like the Anna Maria Island, Sanibel. Those are kind of like our family's like favorite places to go. And it's just really heartbreaking to.
So thinking of I got a bunch of messages from our fanatic friends in Florida. You would not believe how many Iowa Staters are in Florida, particularly Southwest Florida. So thinking of you all, honestly, sincerely.
Yeah.
Hang in there, and maybe Timmy the Trumpet will help.
That sucks. It just... What a beautiful part of our country, too, that just got completely flat.
Buddy, it was a long week. But hey, I'm glad for Cody Rua tonight. Yeah. Cheers. Cheers.
And at least that Vikings kicker redeemed himself after the missed PAT.
Do you want to make my... Okay, cue the Timmy Trumpet. We sparred with the K-State people this summer.
Yeah.
Like, this would be really nice to get back on track here?
Yeah, Manback and I have been texting.
Because Manback, our buddy John Kurtz.
I respect Kurtz. Kurtz just loves just trolling
people. I respect the game.
We need to back it up now.
Got to win at home.
Yeah.
It's the Farmageddon game. Like, can't be losing to old K-State at home on the night game.
The Purple Kitties.
The Purple Kitties with Deuce and Adrian and all the smack we talked all summer. Like, can't have it. Not allowed.
Clones need to run out to this on Saturday night.
Like, Chris Kleiman's got to go. Campbell, if you're listening, get Teamy Trumpet going.
I can feel it right now. Clones are going to go out there and return the opening kickoff. And
we're doing this.
Place is on fire.
Let's go, everybody. Student section's doing like the trumpets.
I'll vow to take my shirt off in the press box. I'll start spinning it around.
I'll be in section Z. Look for me. Iowa State Athletic Department.
Somebody get when play we this
win,
damn song.
When we win the game, or first quarter, right?
Yes.
First touchdown.
While everybody's fired
we're ready
up.
Ready to go, because we're going to be lubed up. Man, fun fact. Okay, I'm not trying to be a downer here. You can turn down a little bit. Iowa State hasn't lost.
Sorry, I keep thinking pod's over.
Iowa State hasn't lost three conference games in a row, seat up, since Campbell's first year.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. We're going Timmy the Trumpet. Campbell owns Kleiman.
Have a great week, everybody.
Yes, cheers, everybody. Hey, the sun will come up. It came up today.
It already did. It was a beautiful Sunday.
It was a beautiful Sunday.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers. Here's my southern slang. I speak it every day. I'm trying to get it popping each and every way. It's one nation under goons. My goons are stripping all these cats down here. They're under rules.